just knew too much.
I was supposed to play at the end of the last hour. It just seemed fitting.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Yeah, because you know what? This stuff does make people crazy. And apparently, Aaron, you knew too much, and then, well, you know, you roped us into your thing. But, yeah, honestly, the pushback on this is huge. Huge. And now Bill wants to do the promo and stuff. Okay, so blah, blah, blah. This is We the People Radio. Okay, Bill, what do you have for us?
Well, our sponsor this second hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. And right now you can get a great deal on a John Deere tractor, mower, implements, you name it. They've got it up there in stock. They've got a great inventory right now. Go up and see them. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake, and rumor is they have some select models that are marked way, way down. So if you're looking for a tractor, go up and see them. You're going to get a great deal. Folks are real easy to deal with. They got some 0% financing. So go up and see them or give them a call. Phone number 530-226-9226 or catch them on the web at PapeMachinery.com.
Do they have a good glazer on staff?
Pardon me?
A guy who fixes windows?
No, we don't have any window guys. Got some good paint and body guys, though. So
They want
to wall it up and make it bulletproof.
It was kind of weird, too. I was just noticing that we played another brick in the wall right before that, too. So I might be giving people ideas. That's the problem.
Come on, Aaron.
Because the way this works, I'm supposed to blame myself.
Oh, right? That's right. Before somebody else does.
Right. That's the latest trend, right? We're supposed to blame ourselves. We're the bad ones. Oh, my God. So I kind of forgot where we were, but
Aaron,
we were talking about the gun show, and we never really got the whole 411 on that.
Yeah, I actually wanted to bring up another one that I thought was really great because I saw it on your X, where you had called out the legislature for their bathrooms because, you know, they're implementing this stuff you were just talking about, you know, how they target our older people and our younger people. You know, having grandma have to be in there with a man is ridiculous, and then our girls having to have boys come in their bathrooms. And then you found something at the Capitol. I wanted you to talk to people about what you did. And that video was epic, by the way. It was amazing.
Yeah, we had a really good time at that. Yeah, at the Capitol in Sacramento. I mean, this is our government. We have a men's room. And we have a women and all others room. So let's think about that for a second.
Women and all others.
All others?
That's right. Assembly member Al Martucci, he was running a hearing, and he's up on the dais, like, giggling that, like, oh, well, I walked into the bathroom, and there were two people who might identify as women. I'm like, you mean women, you bonehead? Just say it. You know what a woman is. You see who is in front of you, that it's a woman. And they looked shocked that I was in their bathroom. And I was like, well, this is an all-gender bathroom. Of course they were shocked. They don't want you in their bathroom. Like, it's that simple. Use the men's room across the hall. But no, there is no privacy for women anymore.
No.
Zero.
No.
It kind of tells you where their brain is and, you know, what happened to feminism.
Well, I just want to say I wouldn't be very comfortable in a men's room with somebody wearing a dress. So
then there's that.
You know, either way
he's
you
a man
go
without
on this
a country
thing,
now.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, very strange.
But we don't have to capitulate we are not a democracy of one.
No.
Right? And so we need to protect those who are most vulnerable. There's a reason why women, when I go running, I tell my husband at night which direction I'm going and what time to expect me home. We do this as women because we know that. We do cross the street when we feel uncomfortable because we know that we are physically unable to defend ourselves from most every male, even someone who is smaller than we are. We know this. And to tell little girls to not follow their visceral reaction and to accept men with penises or even without penises in our spaces is just setting them up for disaster. What happened to the Me Too movement?
Yep.
Where did that go?
Yep.
That's gone. Now we have to accept penises? Sorry. I'm sorry for your listeners. I keep saying that word. I won't say it anymore. But
too late. They already threw a rock through the window.
Like, that's what it
Somebody with a good arm, though.
Yeah. Oh, good Lord. I mean, and I'm sure it's a man in a dress. And no woman would be able to throw that big of a rock through the window and make it shatter. That's
it's pretty
different.
Thick glass. I mean, it's like it's studio glass, so it's pretty. I mean, it did sound like. I mean, in fairness, it did sound like a gunshot. It was a fairly solid. And then we're on kind of a busy street a little bit, but not the place where you really, you know, you can back up and get a wind up and take a shot at it. So, yeah, I'd be curious if somebody has a camera out there. That'd be sort of interesting. We'll have to report back and let you know.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a man saying how feminine he is because this is what women do. I mean, how often do we see women taking their shirts off and walking around the White House garden?
Yeah,
but they're women. I mean, do you remember that?
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
I mean, there's
women don't do that.
No,
we don't do that.
No, there's just a and you know. Back to the, I mean, this whole thing is about kids. And so as adults, we're having trouble processing this. You know, like this isn't normal for us. And you think, wow, what are kids looking at right now? And no wonder they're being, I mean, that's why grooming is grooming, right? I mean, that's why it works. This stuff is all around them. You're not allowed to you're not allowed to talk bad about it. You're not allowed to bring facts into the equation.
But what Aaron said earlier about the
which Aaron are you talking about?
The causation. You know, when I was in school, this wasn't an issue, and it certainly didn't have the traction it has now. So why all of a sudden in the last, you know, what, 10 years, has this become so popular and socially accepted, I guess? Where did all this start?
So that's it. That's a question I'm asked often. And this is a very strange cult, and that's what I'm going to call it because that's what it is. This is a cult without a single leader. This is a cult without a single cause. So you have the money. Each child is worth $1 million to the medical industrial complex.
Right.
Because once a child is transitioned in any fashion, puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, surgeries, they become a lifelong medical patient. So these kids who detransitioned to the medical communities don't know what to do with them. They can't fix them. They have constant pain, and it's a big shrug of your shoulders because it's all experimental, and the doctors say, I don't know how to help you. There is a man in San Francisco who I got this call on Friday, black man, schizophrenia, sexually assaulted as a child, just like Walt Heyer, transitioned, had his genitals removed, and fashioned into a never-healing wound, which is constantly infected. And he went to urgent care. Yeah, he went to urgent care. They sent him away. No one will help him because no one knows how to help him. So he is going to bounce from doctor to doctor to doctor. He is a perpetual medical patient. He is 29 years old.
Yeah.
And this is the real story of what's happening. So they're worth money. There used to be one pediatric gender clinic in the whole of the United States in 2007, and now there are over 250 of them. Why? Because they make money.
Yeah.
They make money. So you have money. And then you have... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, the thing that struck me... When, and we'll have to talk about this in a little bit too, the other portion of it, but when Bonta rewrote the title and summary, he still had to leave in the aspect that this ballot initiative would, if passed, would save California, what was it, millions or billions of dollars, something like that, because our taxpayer dollars are going to this crap.
Well, let's talk about that. I'm so glad you brought that up, because at protectkidsca.com, where you can find the ballot initiative, you'll see the title and summary that Rob Bonta wrote, and it says, potential small savings. By not transitioning kids. You want to know what the small savings is? Because I requested the documents from our government, and I just got them. Under Medi-Cal, our tax dollars in 1 year, believe it's 2020, we paid $94 million to transition children
and ruin their lives.
And that's not the whole number. They didn't give me all of the numbers I asked for. So that's just a drop in the bucket. $94 million to butcher children. Now, let's talk about what happens after, because these kids then are sterile. So they become, how do they get babies? They buy them. Mm. They buy them through surrogacy programs. California has we're the biggest surrogacy state in the United States. So they get them either way. They get the money.
Sure.
They're taking vulnerable kids and turning them into commodities. And you can invest. All of us on this call, if you own stocks, you're investing in the pain of these kids. We all are. If you have Vanguard funds, you have, you know, ESGs, I don't want to go too much into it, but, you know, environmental, social, and governance funds, are all pushing this transgender agenda because they get scorecards from the Human Rights Campaign. So they want to get good scores. They don't want to fix the environment because that's too expensive and too hard to do. So they throw a pride parade. And so they get really good scores on social. And so that's why they push this. So you've got money on that end too. There are people who are investing in online cross-sex hormones. You can make millions. It's a billion-dollar industry. So the money is there.
Yep.
The money is first and foremost. And then you have the other reason, sex. Why sex? Because you pump a little girl with testosterone, and suddenly you have a little girl who says yes.
Sure.
Right? And you have them highly sexualized. There is, when a kid puts that they are transgender on their Instagram account, it is a siren for pedophiles to find these kids.
Uh-huh.
They understand that the child is disassociating with their bodies and will do something like this. And I know this from firsthand. Well, since you're going to get your breasts cut off anyway, you might as well make some money off of them. So why don't you send us some pictures?
Oh.
And we'll give you some money.
Well, that took a
dark
turn.
So they do this to little girls.
Wow.
Yep.
Mm. Wow.
One of the questions we had in our chat room was, on these puberty blockers they're giving these kids, are they permanent, or is that reversible once they start that therapy?
Well, it's not reversible. There's now studies that are coming out that that putting a child on puberty blockers affects their brain development. So their IQ actually drops. So we have that going on. And then secondarily, during puberty is when you have growth spurts, when your bones thicken and strengthen. And when you put them on puberty blockers, they miss out on that part, and that doesn't get recovered. So young girls who were put on puberty blockers because of precocious puberty, you know, young girls who were developing breasts or getting their periods when they were 6 and 7 years old, there's 10,000 complaints against Lupron, the puberty blocker, from these girls when they get into adulthood because they have brittle bones, they have osteoporosis, their jaws are cracking, their teeth are cracking, and they're 25 years old.
Wow.
So there is no recovery.
Male pattern baldness.
Well, not from puberty blockers. From puberty blockers, you also have 98% of all kids on puberty blockers go on to cross-sex hormones. Oh. So it's not a pause. Everyone hears, oh, it's just a pause button to give the children time to think about it. But their brains aren't developing when they're on the blockers. So they're not maturing. So their minds never change. Plus, it's just step two in the process. Social transition being step one. Step two is puberty blockers. 98% of all of them go on to cross-sex hormones. A boy placed on puberty blockers. Sorry, I'm going to get gross here. Boy.
Hold that thought. Let's be gross after the break. How'd that be?
Sure.
Since Bill has a question and I don't know, I wasn't paying attention, and you know, there's a lot of things going on.
Yeah, we gotta talk about what happens to our poor boys with these puberty blockers.
Yeah, because it doesn't go well for them either. We talk about girls a lot. That's true. So we're speaking with Aaron Friday. And the loud noises you hear in the back are the cars going by through the giant hole in the window that someone felt the need to open for us with huge rock, because I guess people don't like this topic.
Apparently we're over the target.
Which is, yeah, we are over the target. Taking flack. You can find the archive on this show, and I hope you send it to a whole ton of people, and I hope you go to the transgender tab on our website. And if you know somebody who's an expert or something on this topic, we would love to interview them too. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of 1,000 warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all times. I find it kind of sad, the dreams on which I'm dying are the best I ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take, when people run in circles, it's a very, very mad world.
Sometimes shows the music writes itself.
There you go. Aaron, I had a question I tried to ask earlier, and I must have lost it.
And you were so rudely cut off.
Yeah, I was rudely cut off.
So sorry.
What is the percentage, I don't know if you know this, but what is the percentage of kids that detransition once they, make their announcement or start their process? How many of them actually change their mind?
Nobody knows because it's not being tracked, but I'll give you some data that I do know is that in the armed services, they have data that shows that 30% of their membership who started some kind of hormone program stopped. Okay, so that's 30%.
Wow.
I track the trans Reddit, which, they're not complete real numbers because anyone can join D-Trans Reddit and see what D-Transitioners are saying. So there's D-Transitioners and D-Sisters, and then there's people like me who are watching it. But I'll give you some data from that. in January 2020, there were 6,000 or so detransitioners on Reddit or desisters on Reddit. Now in 2024, there are 50,000.
Holy cow.
These are also with the same kind of data points that you see with those people transitioning. So it's the same, you know, diagonal line. As more people transition, more people detransition, because again, it doesn't resolve their problems. No one is tracking this. No one's tracking this. I mean, think about this for a second. You're transitioning humans.
Yeah, and that's why I was asking what alternatives are these people offered prior to going down this ugly road? Maybe if they were given, I don't know, maybe I'm stupid, but maybe if they were given other options, a lot of this could be avoided.
Walt Heyer started saying it he was saying it before we talked to him in 2016, that this is a mental health crisis.
Yeah.
And that should be part of the mix, and that is absolutely not part of the mix. Is anybody, I know people are talking about it, but do you see anything going that direction at all?
I do. So really, in the last 2 years, think about it, in 23 states, we have passed bans on gender interventions on children. I hope California will be the 24th with our ballot initiative at protectkidsca.com. But yes, in the last 2 years, we have seen groups of therapists coalesce to make sure that their profession is looking at these kids and young adults in a more holistic way. So that is definitely occurring. More therapists and pediatricians, endocrinologists are speaking up. More teachers are speaking up. More parents are speaking up. So we are actually going in the right direction. We're just not going fast enough in the blue states. They are still holding back. And I'll give one really quick story of a Democrat that I met with. I'm not going to name who he is, but, you know, it's very rare that a lawmaker will actually meet with me in person. They usually send a staffer instead. He met with me in person, and usually you're given about 15 minutes. I had an hour and a half with him. That's new. They are starting to understand that this isn't the new gay. You know, this isn't homophobic and it isn't bigoted to safeguard children. So it's starting to happen, and I do believe that this part of history will end. It's just a matter of how high will the body count be,
how many
humans need to be ruined before people start waking up and have the courage to stand up and do something about this. If everyone stood up today who is against this, regardless of a rock coming through the window, it would be over in a matter of weeks.
Is this like a worldwide problem, or is it mostly seen like in the West?
People who are starving and trying to make ends meet, they don't have time for this, I would imagine.
Well, they're trying to make it worldwide with the WHO, the World Health Organization. They're trying to push this in other countries. So I get calls from Korean filmmakers, France. In Europe, you know, they're slowing it down. So Sweden has bans, Denmark has bans, so does Finland has bans on this stuff on children, the UK. So they're ahead of us in ending this, but they're building this movement and they're even trying to bring it to Africa because, again, it's worth money and we're dehumanizing and depopulating our world because we're sterilizing humans.
Yep.
We're also, I mean, you talk about a hateful movement. We are harming the quote-unquote deplorables. We are harming those with mental health issues. It's eugenics at its core. So again, we talked about, like, why is this happening? Well, think about it. autistic kids, now they can't procreate because they'll be sterilized. Let's get rid of them. That's yep. what this movement is. Let's get rid of the gay people and make sure that they can't have kids too. Let's turn them into lifelong medical patients.
Well, and let's give the transhumanists, you know, finally what they always wanted. You know, the ability to experiment with the human body, because once this starts, it's really similar to, you know, having a transplant, an organ transplant of some kind. You're on medication forever. So
right, and they're trying to make womb.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Independent of women's bodies, they're trying to transplant them into men's bodies again to be gross. I mean, men are lactating. I don't know what the concoction is that's coming out of their nipples, but they're actually feeding newborns. And it's a fetish. So they get turned on by an infant suckling some weird concoction that is dripping out of their nipples. That is what we're doing. Doctors are actually prescribing medicine that will make stuff come out of these men's nipples. It's insanity.
Yeah,
and they definitely don't want to talk about any of that because, well, if they can brand us all as haters and misinformers and people who
sure.
who are just, I don't know, what are we? Are we just like Puritans or something? I mean,
well, yeah, they do whatever they can to just make it to where they walk away from us and don't even want to hear what we have to say.
Yeah, then there's that.
Because when you hear what Aaron has to say right now, you're going to say, wait, what? I need to look more into this. And then you're going to sign that Protect Kids California initiative right away.
So, Aaron, can you talk a little bit about what the impact is having on the boys?
Oh, yeah.
We talked a lot about the girls.
Sorry, Bill.
Sure. Yeah, let's talk about
the boys. She was shy.
Yeah. It affects girls 75% versus 25% of boys, but the boys are catching up because it's a social contagion, and that's in history of social contagions. We always know it starts with the adolescent girls and then moves on. Mm-hmm. But for the boys, so when a boy is put on puberty blockers, his penis never grows. So he will have a baby-sized penis for the rest of his life.
Oops.
Even if he stops. So let's be gross. Let's be super gross. So this is a fetish. Also, think about it. An 18-year-old man with a tiny penis. Pedophile. Interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then these boys, once they go on the puberty blockers, they have the micro penis. They try to make a neo vagina out of it. There's not enough skin to do that. So this is what they did for Jazz Jennings. They took part of the colon to fashion some kind of fake vagina. The
colon that you actually need for colon-ness?
Yeah. Yeah, well, right. Like, it's gross. You're taking a part of the body that is used for excrement to come out. And so these kids, too, they also, it perforates. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of grown adult men who've had this done, and they wear diapers.
And adhesions can grow in their abdomen and cause a lot of pain and issues as well with that.
And hair, internal hair growth, the constant infection that I talked about with the young man in San Francisco, these boys never experience an orgasm. And so how do you explain to a child you're never going to experience chocolate ice cream?
Yeah.
Well, what is chocolate ice cream? Well, chocolate ice cream is really yummy, and it tastes really good, but you're never going to have it. And so that's what we're doing to kids. That's what we're doing to these boys. And there's the gross fetish aspect to it, which is really horrible. These boys end up, you know, looking younger, too. They stay young-looking. So now we're into pedophilia. And some of these kids, and anybody can look at this. You don't have to believe me. Go to Align Surgery. Look up Align Surgery in San Francisco. And what they do is they leave the micropenis and then they fashion a fake vagina. So, like, think about that. Think about what we're doing to humans. What we're experimenting. It's like the Nazis in Germany when they took the twins and did all the experiments on these kids. It's a horrifying thing. Yeah. This is not a movement of love or kindness. It's a movement of hate and destruction.
Yeah, you got to kind of wonder what these doctors, how they can sleep at night when they have to know the long-term effect of what they're doing.
Yeah, but
it's
look,
not
at, look,
good.
Look at the experiments they get to do, though. Yeah. This is like if I just went to that Align surgery thing. I'm going to put that just so people don't have to crash their car to try to jot this down if you're driving. I'm going to put that on the page for today, and I'll also put it on the transgender tab because, yeah, that's terrifying.
And I want to put a warning out there because they do show pictures. They do show after pictures, and they are horrifying, and you can't get them ever out of your brain. So if you are at all squeamish, do not look at it because it will, you know, it lives with you forever, unfortunately. And this is the movement. This is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And these surgeons, they don't care. Dr. Spack, who brought pediatric sex changes or gender interventions to Boston College, he is quoted as saying he was salivating. Salivating.
He?
Wow.
So these doctors think that they're godlike. You can hear it in their voices. We're like, we could change sex. How exciting.
Yeah, we're going to be the first.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Oops.
But just because you could do something doesn't mean you should morally, right?
Weren't we told that by our parents a long time ago? Yeah. I don't think most people can wrap their mind around this, and they wind up silenced because it seems to be a big social movement. It seems to involve other people. But I always kind of like to point out, bottom line is if you have a wallet, it's coming for you, whether you like it, don't like it, whatever the thing is, because these people who are going through these experiments are going to need extensive medical and psychological care for a very long time. And
there's nobody it doesn't
be
touch.
Privately paid for.
Yeah, there's nobody it doesn't touch. You can say like, oh, it's not my issue. It is your issue because you use the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
The public
and then there's
you
that.
Have a mother. Yeah, you have a mother, you have a sister. Katie, I'm curious, like, how is your collection of signatures happening in your area for protectkidsca.com? I love to hear the stories of how it's going.
Hold that thought. We'll come back and do that. We'll have the whole last part of the show is about the petition because we have it linked on the site, but I want you to tell people specifically what they need to do to print it because there's a lot of pages. Do they need all the pages, some of the pages? Like, let's give people some marching orders because not everyone is here local, right? So there will be people in other parts of the state and other states that listen. Also, if they want this petition in their state, they should model it after this, I would imagine. We will be right back. Our guest is Aaron Friday, and we're talking about the unpopular topic, but it is popular. That's the thing of how do we deal with the transgender ideology and get control of our kids back. Give it back to parents. What a great idea.
Yeah.
You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Devil appears, waiting for someone, been waiting for years.
Oh, I just try to make believe that everything you're telling me is true. Come on, baby, won't you do?
If you ever want to make a musical, you could use that. That's that'd be a good theme song for you. Okay. back to the initiative and all the things. So how is it going here?
I think we were kind of slow going at the beginning, you know, with Christmas and everything else, but we're really cooking along now. We got a group of people who are also working on another ballot initiative, which will lower that $950 thing. And we partnered with them. We've been taking each other's initiatives around. We collected a few hundred signatures last Saturday standing in front of a grocery store. And we have a big door knocking campaign next week. We'll be going every single day next week all the way up through Saturday. And we're well received by both sides. We let everybody know that we are bipartisan. We have some more moderate Republicans as well as some hard right Republicans. We're a pretty red county, so Democrats are few and far between. And if they are here, they're pretty extreme. So that's what we got going on. I think it's going really well. People were just lining up to sign yesterday. We were at a big barbecue thing. We got a lot of signatures there. So it's going really well. And I love the education that you guys have on the website, teaching people how to do it, because there's a lot of people just printing it out and getting their family to sign, like you said.
So they can if they live in California, they can go to protectkidsca.com, print the petitions, have people sign them, gives them all the directions on there. You have to have all the people in the same county. You have to sign a petition. If you're not sure on how petitions work, ask somebody, because there's nothing worse than you get a whole bunch of signatures and then they're invalid. You know, you need physical addresses. There are some things that are petition specific. And what this does, just so people understand, is this does not make it a law. It puts it on the ballot. And once it's on the ballot, then the state gets to vote. So, if you want to see people have a choice.
That's right. It just gets it on either the 2024 ballot, which is what we're looking towards, and that means people need to get their signatures in by really April 15th so that we can check them, and then we can give them to the counties by the 19th. That would get us on the 2024 ballot, but we have... we might have an extension of time because, well, I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about it, but I guess I will. We're filing a lawsuit against the title and summary, and that will be filed on Monday. So we might have longer period of time. But our website has directions in Spanish and in English. We have Mandarin directions in Korean, and they're pretty simple directions if people just take the time to follow them. You write neatly. You write within your rectangle. You sign it. You use your address that you get your ballot when you vote. That's the address you need to use. And then you mail it in and then go collect some more. I drive around with them in my car. When I pick up takeout, I get signatures then pretty much wherever I go. I look at the person and I say, oh, that's potential somebody who believes that removing little girls' breasts is not okay. So I'm going to ask them to sign, and it's really quite easy to strike up the conversation. For men, it's very easy, especially, men who are workers. All you have to ask them, and I joke, hey, you know what a woman is. They get it. Men understand the sports. And then when I'm talking to parents, I talk about the children, the aspect of the children, and they understand that and they sign it. The most difficult people to get to sign the ballot initiative are strangely, women from 21 to about 35. They seem to, fall for the be kind, be loving, be accepting, narrative, which is just untrue.
Even if it's children, I mean, it's one thing if it's adults who want to, go through the mutilation, really. If they want to go through that, I guess at some point, that's your problem. But they think it's okay to do this. Are they people who have kids, just out of curiosity?
I don't know. But most of the people who say no don't have children.
Makes sense.
It totally makes sense. I mean, and they forget, you know, if anybody thinks about what decisions they made as a child, I don't know about you, but man, I made some poor choices at the age of 16, 17. I did that double perm, you know, to look like one of the Hart sisters.
You were going to be in a big hair band?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, we all make silly mistakes when we're kids. That's the joy of being a teenager. But when it's long-lasting as opposed to a bad haircut, then we're in trouble.
Yeah, most of us, you know, cut our sister's bangs or, you know, you know, like right before school pictures, you know, did something like that. But the kinds of options that are available now, and how scary for parents. So, okay, if you have a parent out there who potentially is in one of those schools or areas where this is really popular, because that is, we haven't really talked about that, but this has become sort of a popularity thing for the parents. Oh, I have a trans child. You know, it's like a social, you know, it's kind of like I just got a new purse kind of thing. It's a little weird.
There's some virtual signaling that goes along with it. Yeah, because just like the kids, the children who say that they're trans, they are lauded and they are celebrated at school, right? They have coming out parties and they pretty much are bulletproof at school. They can turn their homework in when they feel like it. They become special. And so do the parents.
Mm-hmm.
They become special. And so it's really all about feeling good about yourself, and aren't I so progressive, and look how accepting I am. But they're putting their child up to an altar of despair. And these poor parents are going to have enormous amount of guilt. And they're also going to lose their children in the interim. We do have these transitioners who will not speak to their parents anymore, because their parents led them down this path and did not fight for them. Parents need to hold the line with their children. We are the only ones who get our kids out of this. If you think a psychiatrist or therapist, even if you find a non-affirming one, is going to save your child, you are wrong. Parents have lost their parenting skills. We are not supposed to be friends with our children over their teenage years. We are supposed to set up boundaries. We're supposed to love them. But we are not supposed to give in to every one of their whims. And parents have lost that somewhere in the mix, where now we follow what our kids want. We don't want them to, you know, we don't ever say no to them. This is the moment in time when parents need to say no, hold the line with your child, and if you have to pull your kid out of that public school because these are indoctrination factories, you have to actually take really Herculean steps to safeguard your child. Parents with young kids should be telling their children every single day how great it is to be a boy or a girl, whatever their sex is, that if anybody ever tells them to lie them that they're a bad person and come tell mommy and daddy right away. You pull your kids out of those sex ed courses at those schools. You do not allow your child to participate in that. You check out that classroom. If you see that trans flag flying in that classroom, you pull your child out of that class.
Oh, because that's probably a clue.
So, Aaron, one of our signature gatherings, we did a dine and sign, and we got permission ahead of time from the owner of the franchise, and then the trans community got us canceled from that location by calling the corporate of the business. We ended up being able to do our signature gathering in the parking lot anyways, because if it has multiple businesses in there, then we have freedom of the ability to do that. So we were able to do that. But in the process, the trans activists came and tried to be disruptors to everybody who was signing it. And one of them was exactly what Aaron described, this lady who her pride and joy, her social outlet, yep, was her transitioning little girl, freckle-faced, adorable little girl, and she went from puberty blockers to now she's taking the testosterone.
And what is she, 10?
She looked maybe about 13, okay, is my guess. And I got a chance to talk to her. Her mom gave me permission, and I was able to look right at her and tell her that she was not born wrong, and that God doesn't make mistakes, and I can't use the pronouns that she wants me to use because she's asking me to, you know, go against my religion. And I also told her that I see her as, you know, a human and a real person, and that I care about her and care about, you know, her health and things like that. And her mom was more interested in yelling at my husband, my school board husband, about things on social media than she was, you know, talking to her daughter. But the little girl looked at me and she was kind of scratching her chin and going, "What? I didn't think that you were going to say that. Where is this coming from?" You know, so she's been told we hate her. She's been told that we're getting these signatures to prevent her from doing what she wants. And she said, "I love myself. I think I'm great." I said, "Well, you can't love yourself by simultaneously wanting to change yourself." And she said, "Oh, where? Oh." Like, she had no, I mean, she just couldn't believe it. So these ballot initiatives are getting these conversations started. I chalk that up as an incredible opportunity that I had that day. And I do think that maybe I've sown some seeds in there that maybe what her mom wants for her isn't always the best thing on that aspect.
That was the coolest story. And you, Katie, you are so right. Because I actually want to tell the person who threw the rock through the window that we don't hate him. And we want him to be comfortable in his male body and to be okay and to love himself enough to accept his natural body. Because what you said, Katie, was so amazing, because it is about self-acceptance and about being perfect in your imperfectness, looking in the mirror and saying, "I am A-okay, and I don't need medicine to fix me." And we need to keep repeating that. I have enormous sorrow for anybody who is transitioning and struggling with this. I work with parents, you know, probably spoken to 3,000 parents at this point. Some of their kids have transitioned. So, of course, we don't hate anybody who is masquerading as the opposite sex. How could we? They could be my friend's children. It's with sorrow, and it's with compassion. And we just don't want any more children to grow up self-loathing, because that's what transgenderism is. It's self-loathing and hating themselves.
Well, now that your daughter has stepped away from all that and is older now, what's her take on it?
She doesn't like to talk about it. She's still young. She's still a minor.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure how long ago that was.
Yeah, it's a dark period in her life, and I don't know when she'll talk about it, because, you know, there's embarrassment and there's sadness, and, you know, something caused her to hate herself, you know, whether it's COVID or something else. But it's hard for these kids too. They don't ever want to talk about it ever again. They want to walk away from it.
That makes sense.
Anyway,
yeah, that does make sense. But the good part is, as a parent, you wound up with an option. Look at the time. I mean, seriously, I had no idea. This has gone really fast, and it's been very exciting. It's been very exciting chatting with you today. More exciting than any show we've done in a really long time. Our guest has been Aaron Friday. The initiative is protectkidsca.com. I hope you will go to that site if you forgot or whatever. Go to wethepeopleradio.us, and you can download the show a little bit later this afternoon. It's free. Send it to a friend. We have no copyrights. And thank you very much for coming on with us.
You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay, we got minds to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back. Though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.